Hi, everybody. We just wanted to let you know that this episode includes discussions of some sensitive topics that could be triggering. So if you're struggling, you can reach out to the Crisis Lifeline at 988 in the US, 988lifeline.org, or Crisis Text Line at texting 741-741.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Delta Flyers Journey Through the Wormhole with Quark, Dax, and their good friends Tom and Harry. Join us as we make our way through episodes of Star Trek Deep Space Nine.
Your hosts for today are Terry Farrell, our inspiring science officer, Garrett Wong, our brilliant ensign, and myself, your favorite helmsman, Robert Duncan McNeil.
For the complete version of this podcast, with all of our exciting and super cool bonus content, including ratings, winners and losers of the episode, missing scene, and Patreon subscriber submitted questions, check out patreon.com/the Delta Flyers and sign up to become a patron today. Hello, everybody.
Well, hello.
You too. I am dying to know, what was it like staying at Casa de Shimmerman at the same time?
I know. Oh. We were both there. It was a party house.
I was in the Shimmer Swink suite.
Oh, I love that.
Shimmer Swink is what you just said, right? Okay.
Yes. Oh my gosh. Is it not blissful to wake up in their house?
It's a great home. It feels like it's been there 100 years in a good way. Like it's got,
so the
it's
energy
got
is
life.
Good, is what you're telling
it's
me.
Got, yeah,
true
they've got
home
books and art on the wall. Just, it's very comfy and
their histories on the wall.
Yeah.
I
it's
love
great.
It.
It was really
great
fun.
Storytellers. Breakfast. We're all in our robes and having coffee in the kitchen.
It was like an adult
so
slumber
sweet.
Party. That's the way I looked at it. I'm like, look at
yeah. First thing everyone, how did you sleep? How did you sleep?
We got food from a Thai restaurant that Armin and Kitty love that was incredible. This buffet was unbelievable.
Unbelievable. Wow. What was it called? Do you
I can't
remember?
remember.
You
Was it
ordered it or
Hope?
you guys went there? What did you guys?
Was it
We went
something
and picked it
Hope?
up.
Hope Thai. The vegan meat was crazy.
Yeah.
Really?
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Oh,
They
we ate
instead of
way
using
more. We were
beef or
so full.
so full, instead of using beef, they had like a Beyond Beef kind of, vegan meat.
Nice.
Everything was so good, and it was, oh, so good. And we
Wow.
sat around a dinner table like adults. It was,
I
usually I'm
love
eating
it.
with like standing with a bowl in my hand.
I love it.
That's what we did the next night when we had pizza with your friend Joel.
We did my version the next night with pizza, a box of Domino's, and some, wine from the grocery store. It was great.
Domino's and wine. I
Yeah, and
love
poor
it.
Robbie accidentally double clicked on the gluten free.
Oh,
So I got
yeah.
regular crust, which is fine, but I just ate the whole top layer of my little small pizza.
Oh, no. I
I
forgot
know.
about that.
I know.
Well, it
That's
was on the
okay.
Domino's app, and I've never have used the Domino's app, so I guess I thought I clicked gluten free.
But you double
But he thinks
clicked.
he
double clicked it by, turned
I
it on and
probably
off.
did. Yeah, I think
I've done
so.
stuff like that of
I
so
know I
many
hit it,
times.
but I must have hit it twice or
Oh,
something.
that's.
So
Oh,
we're in the
well.
kitchen. We're so hungry by the time it gets there.
Yes, she's eating the
They're eating
toppings.
it.
You just
It
ate the
was like we were
toppings.
in college or something. We were just starving.
So
It was
funny.
ridiculous.
So overall, it was a good a couple of, how long did you guys stay there? 2 days, right? Or
I
3
was there
days?
2 nights.
2 nights. Okay.
Yeah.
And
Yeah.
I was there four,
Four?
five.
Four. Oh, even longer than Robbie. But you guys both got
Yeah.
there the same day in the beginning, is what happened, from what I
We
remember. I
did,
came on
yeah. Yeah, we
Wednesday.
did, like an
We
hour
did.
apart.
Yeah. And we were there before the heat wave, which was great.
Yeah, you lucked
Oh,
out.
so great. It was
Yeah.
still hot during the
It was
day,
still
but
hot, but
not blistering. Not what they're
no.
going through right now.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, it's bad now.
Oh, I'm so happy we missed that.
Yeah.
Agreed.
It sounds like a blast. Let's just jump right into some birthdays. What do you say, guys?
Excellent idea.
Okay.
Genius.
Sounds
Our
great.
first birthday is Amy Tudor. Amy, October 21st. Happy birthday, Amy.
Happy birthday, Amy.
Happy birthday, Amy.
And Leslie Ford, also October 21st. Happy birthday, Leslie.
Happy birthday, Leslie.
Happy birthday, Leslie Ford. And we have Cindy Ring 4 days later on October 25th. Happy birthday, Cindy.
Happy birthday, Cindy.
Happy birthday, Cindy Ring.
Robbie, your limerick, please.
Okay, this week I have two limericks because
two.
When I was trying to write the limerick, what? I literally have never spent so much time. I could not crack the code on this
oh,
one.
Oh, no.
I ended up getting one, but then
you didn't even go to the master for help on that?
Well, that's the thing. The master saw my struggle. And so Rebecca has also written. So I'm going to read mine and hers.
The
hers
master.
Is far superior.
Oh, please. My Let's goodness.
Hear. Let's hear. Here's my limerick for The Collaborator. Bajor is choosing Kaiopaka's replacement. It's about time. But Kira's put in charge of solving a crime. Quark really hates payday, but he unseals secret files in some way. And Wynn ends up the new Kai in the meantime.
That's not bad.
It's not bad.
Yeah. It's bumpy. Okay, Rebecca wrote this one.
Let's hear it.
See if I can get it in the right rhythm. Beryl seems destined to be the new Kai. But Wynn swoops in like an annoying fly. She enlists Kira in her scheme. The truth isn't so easily seen. And Wynn gets her way. Oh, no. Oh, my.
I like it.
Yeah, it's good. It's
I
better.
I like both of
it's
yours.
No, hers is better.
The master is still the master. So
exactly.
Good job, RJ.
Well,
okay.
Yeah.
Let's hear your poem, Terfair. Let's hear it.
Collaborator. My head is quite frankly spinning. Is Beryl's heart deeply winning? Trust wavers and is broken. Her forgiveness a mere token. To his broken idealized dream, are Kara and Beryl a winning team?
Whoa.
Thanks,
okay,
guys.
I'll tell you what I like about
that's really good.
I really like that it makes you think at the end. You're not making a statement. You're that question, are they a winning team? So that sold me.
My answer is no.
Yeah, let's get into this
right.
episode.
Let's talk about it when we get into the episode.
Yeah, we'll get
exactly.
it.
Exactly.
Here's my haiku. Here's my haiku for the collaborator. And it goes something like this. Time to choose the Kai. Vedic Wynn digs up the past. Scapegoat Beryl.
Oh, that's good.
Thank you.
Really good.
That's
Thanks.
Really good.
All right.
I'm sorry.
Good...
I almost laughed the way you delivered the first line.
Time to choose the Kai. Time to wash the dishes. Yes, it was.
Time to get pie in your eye.
All right. Guest stars.
Holy cow.
Yeah.
Philip Anglim, of course. Vedic Beryl. We've talked about him before. He's appeared in four prior episodes of this. We have Bert Remsen as Kubus Oak. We have Camille Saviola. We've talked about Kaiopaka in the past. And two prior episodes for Camille. Mm-hmm. And that's it. Those are our guest stars right there.
Wow.
Yeah.
That was easy.
Very quick.
Mm-hmm.
Story by Gary Holland. Teleplay by Gary Holland, Ira Stephen Bear, and Robert Hewitt Wolfe. And of course, directed by none other than Mr. Cliff Ball.
We love Mr.
I
Ball.
Love Cliff. I know.
Love me some Cliff Ball.
Honey Bear. Oh. He's a honey bear.
Is that what you called him on set? You didn't say that.
No, but I don't think so, but he was.
But
he's,
I get
he?
It. I get why you describe him that way. For
just
sure.
That's how I think of him.
Harry walks up. Mr. Honey Bear, am I in the next shot? He's like,
well, like me, depending on the season, I could have done that.
Yes. There you go.
Oh, my goodness.
So this episode starts off in the promenade. We see Beryl kind of walking around a corner. It felt like a dream from the beginning to me. Did you feel that way?
Well, especially because it's deserted. There's no one in
Nobody
the scene.
There.
Well,
yeah.
Like the first shot, I just thought, oh, are we like in the monastery or something? Oh, but wait a minute. I don't think I've ever seen, all of that fabulous work that set design did. I was like, I don't know where we are.
Right.
And then, when it looked deserted, it was like, oh, it has to be a dream.
And it turns out at the end of this scene, when he comes out of this vision or whatever, that it's an orb vision, right? He's got the orb box and he shuts it. But I was trying to remember, like, is this always? It felt a little more stylized than some of the orb visions I've seen before,
which
I thought was cool.
Yeah,
darker.
Darker,
more Twilight Zone-ish in a way.
A lot of orange.
A lot of orange. Yeah, very color saturated, and it just felt different. So I thought it was cool. Maybe that was Cliff making that call, or Marvin or something. Who knows?
Yeah.
But it was cool. He does wander around. Nobody's there. And then he wanders, bumps into a hanging body.
Yeah.
Which was very creepy.
Yeah, that was not good.
No. It's never good.
Not much reaction, though, from when he bumped into it. But that makes sense, though, because he knows about what happened. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's like aware that he's having a vision or a dream.
Yeah, for sure.
That makes sense.
Oh, yeah. The orb. Yeah. But we don't know at this moment the orb.
That he's in the orb yet. No.
Yeah.
Which is weird. Well, Kira's playing spring ball by herself, bouncing a ball.
Which is also weird.
Which is also weird.
Yes. Yeah.
And ominous.
So Kira's playing spring ball. She runs upstairs, I think, and then she cuts the body and it drops. Did you notice there was no
she
noose?
She cuts the rope. She cuts the body.
Yeah, she cuts the rope.
She cuts the rope.
Yeah, that would be weird. Why cut the hanging
body? She cuts the body down.
Yes.
So she cuts the rope and the body falls down.
Body falls down. But did you notice there was no noose on it? When it fell down, it was just a body. And I was like, I thought it was a mistake, but I guess in a vision.
The dream sequence, the vision, doesn't matter.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be. Yeah.
You can have zero continuity.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's what it was. It was zero continuity.
But good catch, though. Good catch, though, Robbie, still.
Yeah, it was kind of strange, but yeah, it makes sense in a dream. Well, he thinks that it's Prilar Beck. He says, that's Prilar Beck. Mm-hmm. And then Kira says, no, it's you. And I was confused there because it didn't look like him.
I didn't rewind it, but I wonder if it was Prilar Beck the first time we saw
him. And then
cut
back and it's him?
Yeah.
Maybe. I don't know.
Should I go back and look right now?
Let's go back and watch it again.
We're going to wait. Go ahead and we'll sit here for another.
Let's just talk about stuff and you watch it again. So that it ends. And then we see Beryl shut the orb box.
Yeah.
And we realize it's a vision. That's how that all works out.
Well, here's my question to both of you. I thought opening up the orbs was a special ritual thing that happens once in a blue moon. But throughout this episode, we see Beryl refer to it over and over again as if it's an app on his phone. He's doing it all the time.
I think it's a red herring.
We're in Kira's quarters next. Beryl's staring out the window. Yeah. And then we see somebody's arms, but the way Cliff did it, you couldn't see who it was. Do you remember for a second?
Yeah.
And it sort of wraps around and then it reveals that.
But that's the payoff later.
Kira.
Yeah. It reveals that it's Kira. There's a lot of handsiness in this scene.
Yeah. Okay. So it's a close up where you don't see who it is, right? You see the arms, you see them talking. The minute she cuts away and then you realize, because I thought they were both nude. You know what I'm saying? The way it was shot.
Yeah, you couldn't really share.
No, you can't tell.
You had like a
Bob Blackman.
Yeah, the shoulder.
He made a garment that was literally exactly
one sleeve was exposed.
Yes, that it almost
was genius.
When she walked away, I was like, good Lord, Bob Blackman. Look what you just did. You made me think she was completely nude. But in fact, you have a very form-fitting garment on her that's the same color as her skin, or that was the lighting, whatever it might have been. But boy.
It was like. Yeah, pale
I was fooled.
Or something.
Yeah. I was like, oh my God. Yeah, very interesting.
Good for him.
Yeah, cool. Well, they had some romance. He's headed back. And we learn in the scene in 2 days, there's going to be the choosing. This is the election of the next Kai, which I thought when they said that, I'm like, oh, that's Kai Opaka. She's been gone for like a year.
It's kind of crazy, right? Yeah. It's like not having a pope for a year. Yeah, I can't imagine us not having a pope for a year.
For a year. It's a long
time. That's weird. It's a long time.
It's a long time.
Yeah.
It's a cool idea that they vote for the next Kai. It just felt like it would have happened a long time ago. But they're doing it in 2 days. Kira thinks Beryl's going to win because he was Kai Opaka's favorite.
And he's worried Vedic Wynn's going to win.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
We're all a little worried about Vedic Wynn.
Vedic Beryl, good job, Philip Anglin, for being in shape and
yeah, he looked great.
He was
shirtless.
He did.
He did. Good job.
Yeah, I liked him in this episode.
Mm-hmm. No dad bod. So
no, he looked great. They don't want to lose each other. He doesn't want to lose her. Clearly, lovey, 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 love. Lots of love.
How will we make time? We're gonna figure it out. A lot of that.
Yeah, a lot of that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
We go to the promenade next. Outside of the shrine, Vedic Wynn is talking to some children. I thought this whole scene is like the greatest subtext scene. Like people are saying things, but it's clear I mean, Vedic Wynn is great at this.
Oh my
about
God.
saying something and you know she's not meaning what she's saying, or you know, it's so
Yeah, Louise
clear.
was so, she's,
Oh,
well,
good.
was so talented. What a talented woman.
Yeah.
But
Oh my
every
God.
time she called Kara Child,
Yes.
Oh my gosh.
oh, drove me crazy.
She's the best at serving barbs with a smile, is what it is. It's
Condescending,
so
personified.
condescending and manipulative. And yeah, she's telling the children at the top of the scene that they must worship the prophets to get their love. And then Beriel and Kira come over, and Beriel says, "Isn't love unconditional?" So already they're sort of like, you
A
know,
little
at
sparring.
odds, sparring about their religion.
I really like how Beriel handles her. He's very much more in control of his emotions.
Then Kira.
Well,
Then
yeah,
Wynn.
Kira, but certainly better than Wendt.
Oh,
Oh, you're right.
yes.
So he throws a little tiny wobbly, and she gets so flustered, and you can see her boiling as she's covering her it covering. It's so fascinating.
I just like your description of a tiny wobbly. That's amazing. I'm gonna steal that. Yeah, she just tosses a tiny wobbly. That sounds British. That sounds like something British people would say. Oh, that was a
He
bit of a
threw a
tiny
wobbly.
wobbly.
Just a
Did you
tiny
catch that
wobbly.
scene? They threw in a tiny wobbly there. All right.
Very funny.
Oh.
Well, clearly they're on the opposite sides of the religion, Beriel and Wynn, in terms of how they interpret things. But they do discuss the upcoming election, the choosing, and Wynn very condescendingly pretends to reassure Beriel that she's, you know, believes he'll win, and she's all, you know, in support of it. Kira says in the scene at one point, she goes, "I think I have to tell Odo that he needs to up security." And she's like, "Oh no, that's not necessary. I'll be fine." Kira's like, "Not, but not for you, because last time you were here, there was an explosion and a terrorist attack."
You try to kill my boyfriend,
which we all know she did was behind.
Absolutely. And the subtext back and forth that they're, oh, it's just amazing. I love this scene. It's really funny.
So now we're in the promenade. We see a close-up on this older Bajoran man who's just walking along. It's crowded. He's bumped into by another Bajoran who walks on in the beginning, but all of a sudden he just kind of has a realization, turns around and realizes, wait a minute, I know this person.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. He rushes up to him and says, wait a minute, I know you're Kubus Ohk. You're the traitor. You're the one that worked for the Cardassians. And he makes a big scene out of it. But
Oh, yeah.
thank goodness Odo shows up to save Kubus's bum bum, because without Odo, I think
It
Kubus
was
would
like the
probably,
crowds were
oh, they were,
gathering.
the
They
crowd
were,
definitely started to
they,
pay attention
yeah,
quickly.
that was going to be a crowd mob retaliation scene, is what it was going to be. But Odo
Yeah.
saves the day. Odo's very smart. Odo's basically, oh, it's Secretary Kubus. Last I heard, you were living on Cardassia. And Kubus says, "Why? Well, decided it was time to come home." Odo says, "Welcome back. You're under arrest." And that's
Great.
That was
was
awesome.
awesome. And he gets him away from the mob. So Odo's a genius. We love Odo in this scene.
Did you notice Kubus Oak's accent? It felt like he was like from the Bronx or something. Like he
No,
had this New
I
York
didn't.
accent. I was like, I mean, he's a good actor, but like, I don't know
Well,
if you could
it was
put a
kind of a little heavy.
Bajoran. Yeah, it was like,
Better to have someone who has no accent.
but that's Kaio
Exactly.
Paca as well. Camille Saviola has a definite New
Oh,
York accent as
yes, she
well.
does.
Okay, she
So
does.
maybe that
That's true.
justifies it.
Yes. That is an accent in
So,
a part of Bajor, East Coast, that's
yeah.
very similar
Yeah.
to New
A little
York
hybrid,
America.
a hybrid from New York.
Yes.
Very funny. Well, outside of the assembly room is the next scene, and it's a vision again, another orb, you know, vision quest
Another
trip.
orange kind of, or
Yes. Oversaturated
the orange
sex
lighting,
scene. Yes.
oversaturated.
Yeah. And Wynn is there, and she mentions, you know, blessings on the new Kai, Beriel, and then Opaka shows up and says he's got to be strong, and he doesn't know if he can do it. He's not up to it. And she says, just follow me. And then we see Prylar Beck, the guy that was hanging in that he thought was hanging in the first scene. Prylar Beck's got this basket with a lid on it, and he opens it up, There's a snake he sees inside. Opaka says, you know, take it. It'll make you stronger.
Beautiful snake.
Clearly a real snake, right, Robbie? There's
yeah,
no.
Yeah, it was real.
Yeah.
It looked like a python.
Yeah.
Yeah. No VisiFX at that point. That's a real snake.
That was a real snake, kind of making a hissing sound and stuff. Yeah. That was probably shot in a whole different day.
Yeah.
As an insert.
Right.
We, at least for us, we would always do all the inserts on a different day. We'd never shoot inserts.
So. Would a snake be paid, or the owner of the snake be paid? Would the snake be paid? Would the owner of the snake be paid the same amount of as a day fee for a actor coming in for one day? Is that how they would pay animals? I don't even
You'll
know
be
how.
Shocked at my answer.
Really?
More.
More.
Whoa!
Yes.
Animal
Animals?
control has to come on too to be
Yeah,
sure
it's
that
a
the animal's
whole.
safe,
Yes.
which
Oh
isn't
my.
the snake's owner or the animal's
It's
owner. It's a whole nother thing.
It's another person or department that helps out. I had no clue.
I did a show called Turner and Hooch with a lot of dogs,
and the
and
dogs
the
made money.
dogs drove our budget. Like,
oh my Lord.
I want to say, this is probably talking out of school. I want to say our budget for the dogs and dog team was about 30,000 a month or a week. A week?
Oh my gosh.
Or 30,000 an episode? I don't know how that divides out. A week and a half or something.
Gosh.
Wow.
A lot.
That's why you don't see them often.
So everybody listening, if you want to get rich in Hollywood, go buy some animals and start training them, because it's a money train.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Holy cow.
Did the dogs get residuals too? No.
No, they do not.
Okay. So it's a buyout then. They get paid for the day. Okay.
The dogs don't get paid anything.
Right. The owner gets paid. Yeah.
Yeah. Back to the snake.
The snake.
He reaches in. You think he's going to pull out this dangerous snake, but instead it's a noose.
Well, I thought he was going to get bitten.
Yeah, because Opaka says if you get bit, it'll make you stronger.
Correct.
Yeah.
Which is kind of like, oh, who is she now?
Yeah.
What the
Yeah,
heck is going on
she
with
good
this?
Opaka or bad Opaka?
Yeah, or what the heck has he been up to that all of this bad stuff is what he's experiencing in the orb?
Yeah.
That's what I was thinking.
Yeah.
He's guilty of something,
Yeah.
or his conscience is definitely working on him right now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would stop doing these orb vision quests if I were him.
It's
Like,
clearly
what the
detrimental
How
to
about
his
it?
health. Yeah.
Is it helping us any?
It's terrifying. Just keep the box closed, Beryl.
Thank you.
Jeez. Okay, so after he pulls out the hangman's noose, we see it's another vision quest. He shuts the box. We come back to the holding cells in the next scene. Odo mentions as he comes in that a mob was gathering outside of security. So that mob we saw that really hated this guy, Kubus, they're not giving up. He had to clear the mob. Kubus is there. He defends his old job. He said he was only there to serve the Bajorans. And the Cardassians only recognized his group. So to help Bajorans, he had to work with them, work with the Cardassians. Anyway, Gul Dukat loved this guy, we find out in the scene. Odo mentions that, you know, you were Gul Dukat's favorite. So clearly he was like, he was a collaborator, clearly. Kira comes in. We learn that he wants to return. Kubus wants to return to Bajor, but she says, absolutely not. This is where we learn what he did, not just generally collaborating, but he signed all the work orders that sent Bajorans to their death, to these work camps and things. And we learn about this thing called the Ilvian Proclamation that exiled all of the collaborators. They can't come back to Bajor. She wished that they were sentenced, you know, had a harsher sentence,
to
but
worse.
yeah, to much worse. But I felt like he was ashamed in this scene. Like he was defending himself, but he also, you know, was ashamed of what
he
he
felt
did.
Bad, definitely.
And yeah.
But why do you stay there so long? What the heck?
What the heck? And how did you get that New York accent? I'm still wondering.
Let me tell you guys what the original idea for this episode was that Gary Holland had. Yeah. Gary Holland originally for this episode, this involved an elderly male Bajoran who had been living on Cardassia for many years, who wanted to return home to Bajor. And it's discovered during the episode that this Bajoran has some kind of dark secret. And Kira is assigned to find out what that secret is. At first, it seems as if the secret may be that the man is the murderer of Kira's father. But it later transpires that the murderer is, in fact, the daughter of this man. Kubus's daughter was the murderer of Kira's father, and he's been covering up for her. So there is that cover up thing that we, you know what I'm saying, the
Yeah.
whole cover up that's involved. But it was a much different story than what we
Sounds
get in
totally
this one.
different.
Yeah,
Yeah.
completely. Yeah. So there you
Yeah.
go.
Interesting. It's always interesting to hear like what the first idea was for these stories and then
Yeah.
how it just
Yeah.
how they kind of
Pivoted. Yeah.
goes
To a
off in a
whole
whole
different
different.
direction.
Yeah.
Yeah, completely.
We go to the commander's office next. I think this is the only scene that Sisko's in that I can
Yes.
recall.
Yes, it is.
This scene made me laugh from the top. As soon as Wen comes in and Avery turned around, he had
Oh.
this smile on his face. His choices just blow me away. So I'm
Oh.
like, oh my God, it's just
It's like how to handle someone you don't respect and can't stand.
and clearly is
Just
lying to
right? How do
you.
you handle a
Smile.
racist? That is how he's handling her. He just is brilliant in this scene.
Yeah, it's
Oh
so
boy.
fun. It's fun to watch. Well, she comes in, she wants to be friends, which so funny. He sees right through it because she says, you know, we should show our unity and support for Bajor by aligning with the Federation, and you know, maybe we can go to the Vedic Assembly and celebrate, announce our new friendship. So clearly she's making a political move here, and Sisko sees right through it.
Well, he agrees though, right? He says, I'll go with you, but in a week after the choosing,
After the
because he can
choosing.
see right through her manipulation,
Yes,
on
of
top
course.
of the fact that she goes on, like, well, people think that we're at odds.
Yes. Yes.
Right? And he's like, really like gets more clear about it. You mean enemies? People think we're
Exactly.
enemies.
Yeah. And they're right. But we'll just smile and pretend like we're friends.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
And politically, that's all good for next week, because he does want everyone to be
Yeah.
on more even ground.
Yeah, he wants the assembly to embrace Starfleet and be friends, and eventually
Yeah.
maybe Bajor will join the Federation and all that. But
I mean, he'll never
just
trust her, but
no.
that's okay.
Yeah.
Let me throw a quick production note in here. So Gary
Okay.
Holland, the writer and who had the story as well for this episode, visited the set during production and viewed the scene with Avery Brooks and Louise Fletcher being filmed. Holland commented, I wanted that scene all along to have the two of them together acting toe to toe. Avery Brooks saw me and screamed my name across the soundstage, Gary Holland, this is yours. And at that moment, I thought, this is funny. I can't believe this is happening. It was so satisfying to be a part of it all. Can you imagine
Oh,
that? You
funny.
walk on set and the lead actor is yelling your name and then saying, this is yours. This script, this scene, everything. Very funny. I love it.
That's very funny. Well, she when Wynn leaves the scene, she seems very disappointed. And I felt like I know that they had a lot to cover, so there wasn't a lot of room, but this scene to me felt a little quick from top to bottom, honestly. Like
The scene itself.
yeah, just it felt like the story they were trying to get through of, hey, let's be friends. Oh, I see through it. We're not friends. I wish it had been dragged out in a couple of scenes. Like it just felt so quick. The turns, all the turns felt really quick
That
to
makes
me,
sense.
but it was fun to watch. I wish we had seen more of it and a little more slowly. And seen Sisko kind of making a move and her making a move. And I don't know. That was my takeaway from that
Yeah,
scene.
I agree.
Would like to have seen more of that.
Here's another random production note. This was the final episode of Deep Space Nine to air during the run of Star Trek Next Generation. So the TNG finale, All Good Things, aired between this episode and the next, basically.
Oh,
So,
wow.
oh, wow. Had to make way for you guys. This is about the time that we were coming. Yeah, exactly.
That's
So,
funny.
Hey, Robbie.
Yo.
You remember a little segment we used to do called Language Lesson?
Oh yeah, everybody loved Language Lesson.
Well, what you don't know, what our listeners don't know, is that one of the reasons why I know so many languages is Rosetta Stone.
Really, Rosetta Stone, I've heard it's great.
Yeah, it's amazing. It teaches you languages the natural way, the way that you learn languages as a child. It's a much more intuitive way to learn. It has speech recognition, so you don't need a teacher. Typically, when you're in a classroom, your teacher kind of tells you, you're pronouncing that right. Well, that's already built into the program.
The program does that for you. you. It listens to how you're speaking and corrects you. And oh, that's amazing.
Super convenient. You could do this on your desktop, your laptop, or on your app on your phone.
I could use the app on my phone instead of doom scrolling the internet. I could be learning a new language and challenging my brain. I love it.
These guys have been around for over 30 years. They are the most trusted and time-tested app out there for language learning. And I have always fanboyed over this company since they started.
It's amazing. It sounds like a great way for me to learn a language so I can connect with fans when I go to do conventions all over the world.
Yes, exactly. So don't put off learning that language. There is no better time than right now to get started.
The Delta Flyers listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/today.
That's 50% off of unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/today. Today.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Well, next scene, we go to Kira's quarters and she's reading a pad or something, and Odo calls and says Vedequin has granted Kubus sanctuary.
Uh-oh.
And Kira is not happy about this.
Steam comes right out of her ears like a cartoon. Like a cartoon.
With the sound. Boop,
boop. She's mad. Yeah. Calls Dax right away. Dax, shut this down. Lock this ship down. It can't go anywhere.
And I'm like, okay.
Yeah, you're just literally. You were literally like, sure. Oh, whatever you want. That's fine. Don't be so aggressive and angry right now.
No, yeah, okay. If she's not aggressive and angry, I'm not going to ask any questions.
I know.
It must be bad, right?
All you say is, Understood.
Yeah. Exactly. You're like, yo, I'm not dealing with this.
I don't want to know anymore.
No, I'm not going to touch the hot iron. Exactly. Not going to touch it.
Kira comes into Odo's to find out what the heck is going on.
With the steam coming out of her ears.
Odo explains, Wynn came to visit Kubus in security. They talk. She asked to look at my computer. And then she said she's going to grant him sanctuary. So Odo tries to find out what she was looking for. He's working on his computer. Kira asks, you know, find out what Wynn was searching for. Odo goes looking. He finds out that she was looking at Prilar Beck's file, who was another collaborator. And he does find that Beck and Kubus knew each other and helped Cardassians. Kira asks if Wynn looked up the Kendra Valley massacre, because these guys, you know, might be connected to that. And she did, Odo says. Yes, she looked up the Kendra Valley massacre.
Beck is attached to this. He is the original scapegoat, right? So that was...
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He basically left a confession and then in a suicide note.
Correct.
And then
saying that he was the one. Yeah. But we do now
learn... On the promenade.
On the promenade, exactly. Very visible place to do that. But we do learn that the massacre, it was basically... Kyle Paca's son was one of the 42 Joran freedom fighters that were ambushed and killed because Beck gave the Cardassians the location of their encampment. And that's what was in that suicide note, that he made a full confession about giving that location away.
Well, they're looking up all this stuff on our computer, and then on Odo's computer. And then Wynn walks in right at the end of the scene and is like, I'm smiling again. Kira, can I talk to you outside? Oh, she's amazing.
I was told you were the one who stopped my ship from leaving.
And Kira's like, yes, I did. She almost plays back
bitch.
The same way. Yeah. Snap, right. snap. Okay.
Yeah, she wants Kira to release the ship. Kira says, you can go. You can take your ship and go, but Kubus has to stay for security reasons. Yeah. Got to do a molecular security scan. Could take days, maybe weeks.
Weeks.
I got to keep this guy, Kubus, here.
Yeah.
And so Wynn reluctantly shares what she's learned, is that Kubus agreed to reveal the name of who is truly responsible for the massacre. And she says at the end of the scene, it was Vedic Barai.
Dun, dun, dun.
Dun, dun, dun. Yeah.
I was like, no. No.
I know. But then again, part of me was like, if this stops them from actually kissing anymore, I'm happy.
I was glad.
It
just makes me uncomfortable.
That's so bad, isn't it? Yeah.
But it's true.
It's true.
I mean, some people must love the kissing.
No, but come on. Of all the relationships we've seen in Star Trek, this is the least, you know, exciting.
Dynamic.
Dynamic relationship ever. The least believable relationship as well.
Yeah, there's chemistry there.
None.
There isn't.
Oil and water. It's oil and water, those two.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Sorry.
And quite frankly, we think about Kara's character. I would like her to be with somebody who's more adventuresome and more personality. Yeah. Someone who, it's not that he's not a great guy or he doesn't love people. No. It's just someone we haven't met.
Okay.
Someone we haven't met. Exactly.
Right.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
We go to commercial. Dun, dun, dun. We come back. Kira does not believe her. Does not believe Braille did it. Wynn says that this is much too important to ignore. We can't ignore what Kuba says. So she decides the prophets seem to want you to investigate this. Kira, you should be the one to do it. Kira agrees, but says, keep this quiet until I have proof that he's innocent. And Kai agrees.
Oh, not Kai, but Vedic. Vedic, you can't promote
not
her
yet.
No.
Oops.
Vedic Wynn agrees.
Yes.
That she'll keep it quiet. But I love the last line in this where she says, one last thing. I know you're under terrible strain, but if you're wise, you will never speak to me with disrespect again. She turned into a monster.
Yeah, that's the voice she used right there.
Right?
Yeah. Isn't she like an evil Disney queen?
Yeah.
Yes.
Right?
Yes, totally.
She's Disney's evil space queen.
Yes, exactly.
But that's a credit to Louise Fletcher. She's such a great actress. Because from what we know from Armin, Louise is very nice person in real life.
Yeah, she was a very nice person. Yeah. At some point, I'm in a scene with her briefly, but
right.
Oh,
like your experiences when you worked with her, that she was a really, you know, personable person and you enjoyed her, right? So,
yeah. And like, you know, a lot of talented actors, they want to have fun working with other actors and they're joyful about work, not entitled about work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
she's great.
She plays that character so well.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Her last line when she gets really mad was not a tiny wobbly or whatever you call it.
No.
It was a big wobbly.
I think what's hard about her is it's so on the head.
Yeah.
Her evil is so right there. It's like,
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
We go to Cargo Bay next. Kira is questioning Kubus in there. Kubus says the day after the massacre, Barao came to see back at his quarters. Kubus heard a lot of shouting for hours. They were arguing and shouting, didn't know what
through the
listening.
Bulkhead. Like, what's that about?
What is that about? Well, these sets were actually made of plywood.
No, I didn't mean that. I meant, like, what was the shouting about? Like, what could they have possibly been shouting about?
Well, Kubus thinks that he must have, wanted to confess and that Barayel wanted to cover it up. And that's why Beck hung himself. That's what Kubus thinks. But Kira's like, that could mean 1,000 things.
It's true.
And she's right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Wynn comes in and ultimately says, you're going to have to prove. Yeah, sure. It could be 1,000 things. You're going to have to prove which is true, though.
Which
you've got to find the truth
of the 1,000 things is true.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. So let me ask this. Did they let this guy go with Wynn then?
Oh, did Kubus leave with Wynn?
He just sort of disappeared, didn't he?
Yeah, he didn't even...
which really bothered me because I was like, shouldn't he just be back in his cell waiting for the, whether we know or not? That bothers me that's a missing scene. I just want to see it now before I forget.
You're right.
That's good. I hadn't thought of that either.
Like, where did he go? Suddenly it's like not an issue.
He's your number one, witness or whatever.
Yeah,
and he's like what? Like comparable to being... Well, what would it be like when we had World War II in the Nazis? Like
he's
that kind of
Yeah,
it's bad. He can't. He shouldn't be allowed to.
Go.
No, he's what is it called when you're a
star witness?
No, when you crimes of war.
Oh, crimes against humanity.
Thank you very much.
He's a big fish, and he just sort of disappears in our story for sure.
Is this the last time we see him in the episode?
I think maybe. We'll
find out. But I don't remember seeing him again. That's why I asked the question, because suddenly I was like, I remember thinking, where is he?
Where's Kubis?
Well, we go to Kira's quarters next. Kira asks Beryl why he was at the station. And Beryl says he went to see Beck because Beck wanted some spiritual guidance.
And hey, for the people that are listening, he is on her, like basically her laptop. He's not in her room with her.
Oh, that's right.
This seems like a face-to-face conversation, though, don't you think?
Yeah, exactly.
I think I would pop down to Bajor. And mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's not that hard. Yeah. Just pop over to Bajor.
Yeah. Not bad. Isn't it? How long is that ride? Didn't we establish
this? I don't think
this?
It must be that long.
It's hours, though. No. It's not like, it's not
it
seconds.
It can't be that far because there's a scene later where she's basically on the station and then, boom, she's... on Bajor.
She's on Bajor? So, okay.
And it wasn't like, meanwhile.
Well, it's funny you say that this should have been face-to-face. I forgot it was on the monitor, but I do remember noticing that Nana was playing it so connected. Like the way that she was having the conversation. A lot of times when you film these scenes and you're looking at a monitor with a green screen on it or something, it's hard to make it feel natural and real. And I thought Nana did a great job in this because probably Judy Brown was reading the lines off camera.
Yeah.
And she made it seem like that chemistry that Nana could create with.
Rarely, but sometimes they pre-record. But sometimes those are pre-recorded and then they can show
true.
It.
That's right. True. Yeah.
I mean, it was a laptop. But nonetheless, she's a talented actor.
She did a great job.
Nonetheless, I wasn't trying to. Yeah. Diminish any of that, but just sometimes you get to actually see.
Well, she's talking to him on the laptop, asks why he was at the station. That's where he mentions the spiritual guidance thing, and she wants to know more, but Beryl says, you know, I can't. He's like a priest, you know, somebody confesses to you, I can't betray their trust. But he reassures her. He says, I did not have anything to do with this, and Kira believes him because she loves him. And says, I'm going to prove your innocence.
Didn't something feel a tiny hairy for you? For me, there was this when he said he couldn't talk about it at all.
Yeah.
I mean, it just felt like maybe part of it was, why do you bring this up if there isn't some element that we're going to get tricked about?
Yeah.
But there was something about how he held back, and I'm sure he had to keep the intrigue going in the story.
I wonder if, you know, those rules of like, you know, priests or, you know.
Oh,
whatever.
Yeah. No, 100%. I mean, I don't want to give away anything. It just felt like I had like a,
Yeah. Yeah. A little bit. Yeah.
I think they wanted us to. I think they played it that way purposefully.
Yeah.
And she was also not her... Nana is doing, I think it was written purposefully that she asked questions in a very soft, careful way instead of not grilling him, but not just being more straightforward.
Like, look, we're dating. We love each other. Just
this
tell
is
me
weird.
The truth. This is, just tell me the truth.
It was still a little like, I'm afraid to ask you straight out.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which it shouldn't have been, correct? I mean, if you're that.
Yeah.
Knowledgeable.
Somebody else should be doing it. That is, I think she's too close to it. Somebody else should have interviewed him. Like Odo.
Sure.
Yes. Yes. Another possible missing scene. Although she's been the one assigned to this, right? Wynn said, you've got to do
it. Yeah. And it's supposed to be a secret.
Yeah. Yeah.
But still.
Yeah.
So we're in the security office. Odo is there with Kira. Odo tells Kira that the Cardassians basically purged all records of communications with Bajor, but he can access the assembly archives, the Bajoran Central Archives. So he's going to go ahead and get a hold of that. But while they're kind of talking about this, Odo does say, are you all right, to Kira? Kira says, I'm fine. Odo goes, well, you don't seem fine. Kira says, it's nothing. Odo says, if you say so. But they talk a little bit, but then all of a sudden Kira admits it. She says, I love him, Odo. And Odo says, really? Well, Kira says, what? Oh, I was just wondering when you were going to figure that out, you humanoids. When it comes to emotional attachments, you never see the obvious. I'm into the Vedic assembly files. The way that he played this makes everyone watching say, you, Odo, are in love with
in
Kira.
Love. Yeah.
Yeah. Love Kira. 110%.
Here's a little production note right here. Writer Gary Holland was surprised at how Odo reacted to finding out that Kira loved Beryl, as that was not how he had written the scene. Like many fans, he took it as an indication that Odo was secretly in love with Kira, and this secret passion directly influenced Holland to write something else, which we won't talk about and spoil, but yes. So anyway, it's, again, it's René Auberjonois's take on this scene, and I think it's amazing that he did that.
Yeah, it was definitely a memorable moment.
Oh my gosh. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But he gets the records. He does get into the assembly files.
Right.
He gets the records, but the week before the massacre, all of a sudden the records have a seal on them.
Yes.
He can't get into the records leading up to the massacre. They're locked up. He says only a Vedic can seal records like that.
So now we're wondering, is it Beryl or not?
Exactly.
We saw the dream with him and the snake. We saw, you know, all the weirdness happening, and everything is now starting to point towards Beryl or another Vedic, whoever it may, but it seems like it's Beryl.
Maybe it's Wynn.
Yeah.
We don't know.
Yeah. But again, it's just a shocking scene to hear that Odo, you know,
the big takeaway is
love.
He loves her.
He loves Kira. My goodness.
Absolutely.
It was sweet.
Very sweet. We go to Quark's next, and Quark is paying Dabo Girl payday. It's payday. He hates payday. he's trying to short her.
Short her. Oh my gosh.
I know. And she's like, points to her, more Latinum, please. Why didn't they give her a line? Like, I hate
those
scenes.
Did she not have anything?
No.
She had nothing? Oh.
Yeah. I hate those miming scenes because they don't want to pay an actor for a line.
Yeah.
You know, to save them $600 or whatever.
Does that really break the budget?
No, it wouldn't have. And she could have easily said, like, we go through this every payday, Quark. You're, you
something.
Know, you're so reluctant to give it the money. Just pay me, you know? Yes.
Yeah.
But they wouldn't give it to her.
Yeah. She didn't have a line. She just did this, you know, tapping her hand.
At my hand.
Yeah. I hate those miming scenes. Mm, anyway,
me too.
Armin was very funny in this, by the way. I thought. Yeah.
Yes, he always is, isn't
so
he?
So funny. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I may be starting to go Team Quark, by the way. I'm just going to
you pivoting?
Go on record.
I know. Yeah.
I may.
And now that you've had the royal treatment
now that
from
I've
the Shimmer Swank.
Cassidy, Shimmer Swank.
Shimmer Swank.
Yes. Yeah. Quark's funny to me. I enjoy watching Quark.
Well, his line
is
funny.
On the back of the guest house. It says Shimmer Swink.
Oh, does it?
Oh,
I
does?
Didn't know that.
Yes. That's why I'm holding on to that.
Oh,
I didn't come up with it.
We thought you came up with that.
I know. I'd like to take credit, but I did not.
Okay. All right. I love Quark's line. I'm developing a persecution complex. I mean, there's some really funny lines in here. Quark's very funny.
Yeah.
I like, he turns around at
this
one
is
point.
A
and
really
goes,
well
what, whatever she told you, I didn't do it.
Yeah.
It's like immediately defensive. Very funny. Yeah. So Quark thinks he's in trouble when Odo and Kira arrive, but they just want him to bypass the security seal. They know that he's a guy that can do this.
He's the master of it, getting through security seals.
Yeah. And he's like, I don't know. You're going to make me take the fall. He doesn't trust them at all.
He wants written authorization countersigned by the commander. It's what he says. And Odo goes, just do it, Quark. He's just like, just angry.
Yeah.
And do you love how when Quark goes over to his little isolar chips or whatever they're called?
The isolinear chips. Yeah.
When Odo tries to look, he's like incensed. Like, no.
Let the master do his work.
Exactly.
Yeah. He's like a cook in the kitchen. Like, you get out of the kitchen. I'm going to cook my little seal breaking thing right over here. Just go away.
Yeah. He shoos him away. He's like, this could take a while. Mm-hmm. Sends Odo off. So he's working on that. Mm-hmm. The next scene is in the promenade. So Odo and Kira walk out into the promenade. And this is where Odo recalls when Beck, you know, took his life. And his observation is, he says, you know, in extreme situations, he's learned that humanoids can do terrible things when in a crisis. So it's a sobering moment there. It was a great scene, I thought, with the way that Renee and Nana played this scene. I thought it was great.
Yeah, and I don't think I was aware that it was on the promenade until we got to this point. You know, even in the orb experience that Vedic Barral had, it was so dreamlike. It was hard to tell exactly what was real and where they were.
If it was literal or kind of just...
Yeah, and this made it really hit home to me because I worked there all the time. So it was like I could visualize where he was talking about. They show a picture and it just made it more real and sad.
Yeah.
Deeply sad.
Yeah. It wasn't a long scene, but it was very moving for sure. Very
funny. Yeah. And also you had mentioned, Robbie, that Odo says that humans in extreme situations are capable of doing horrible things, but the writing is even more detailed. It says even the best of you are capable of doing horrible, terrible things. Right. Yeah. So that, that's even more poignant, you know, even the people that are considered the Mother Teresa,
fundamentally really good
or amazing. Even the Pope, you know, is possibly capable of doing terrible things in extreme situations. Yeah.
Yeah. Great Star Trek wisdom moment in that scene.
Yeah. Appreciate that.
Quark calls him over at the end of this scene though. Quark says, and he looked like he was in like a to-go window or something. He sort of leaned
through. It
I felt like it was like
is.
A drive-through.
I have your order. Here's your order, guys. Okay.
It kind of is. It's the window from the bar out to the promenade.
Oh, okay. Yeah. It felt like a to-go.
A drive-through.
Yeah, drive-through or something.
But
he says, I got into the files. Good news is I got in. Bad news is, you know, all of them have been erased.
All the
There's
messages.
Nothing there.
Yeah, it's an empty file. The,
empty file. Mm. And we go to ops next. Miles O'Brien's there. He says he can't retrieve the empty files in time to do her any good, basically. These erased files. But he might be able to find out who erased it. So he does some real cool techno stuff. Mm-hmm. Finds fragments of the retinal
data.
Scanner or something and builds out the whole eye, and the whole eye turns into Barile. It's Barile.
That whole eye turns into Barile's shirtless body.
Yes.
Okay.
No.
I know.
No,
I'm joking.
Yeah. But he does figure it out in a cool techie way.
Mm-hmm.
As Miles O'Brien always does. We go outside the assembly room down on Bajor next. Into another vision here.
Way too many.
Yeah, this one is like, this is
two desserts work. Four desserts is way too many.
Too many
now you
visions.
Skip dinner.
And this vision is jumping all around. It's got like, Beck says he trusted him and he was betrayed. Then he's naked and he's kissing Wynn.
Well, he thinks he's kissing Kira, right? Or he's kissing Kira. And then when he pulls away, It's Wynn. And she looks really pretty in that shot, actually.
She does.
Yeah, it was great with her hair down without the whole fancy headpiece on.
Oh, no, I'm wrong. Well, we think he's kissing Kira or whatever, but then Kira stabs him.
Yeah, she walks in. And you think she's walking in really sexy, like, oh, they're going to kiss now, off the Wynn kiss. But nope. Stabs him.
Accept this gift from the prophets, she says as she stabs him.
Yeah.
I don't want any gifts from the prophets.
I don't want any gifts from Kira.
No, not anymore. Not after this scene.
I'm scared.
Barile gets stabbed by Kira. That's the gift from the prophets. Paka catches him and says, may the prophets comfort you. Mm-hmm. And then does he die in this vision? Or maybe he wakes up just as he's dying, I guess, at the end of it.
Opaka just says, may the prophets comfort you, my child. May they comfort us all. And then
he wakes
up. It shows Barile opening the orb box. So
that's right.
Closing.
That was enough for him to go, we're done.
No, I'm done. I just got stabbed. I just got
done
a gift from the prophets.
Session.
I'm done.
Yeah. I think he's just picking at a scab here.
It's too much. Too much orb
stop
vision.
An emotional scab. Stop.
Stop opening the box.
I mean, really, he might need to get some guidance on why he keeps opening this box.
Yes, he does. Well, he closes the orb box, hopefully for the last time. I don't think there's any more visions that I can recall.
Okay.
I will see. Kira walks in, though. She's heartbroken in this scene.
Oh,
yeah.
Truth. She's very sad.
This is her boyfriend.
Loves him.
Yeah.
Barile says that more Bajorans would have died if the Cardassians didn't get the location of this resistance base. And he doesn't really give up much detail, but he kind of says, look, this had to happen this way. And Kira's very sad. She's very sad about it.
Yeah, disappointed, crestfallen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, this is huge. Because he's not just her boyfriend. He's a spiritual leader that she fell in love with. And she's a deeply spiritual character. And mm-hmm. she's gone through a lot of trauma. She has PTSD. Yeah. So for her to give her heart and to trust this guy is huge.
Yeah.
It's everything.
Yeah.
So that's been stripped away from her. The helplessness that follows.
Yeah. Would you say, Terry, that this is the first time that Kira has allowed herself to fall in love with someone
as an adult?
I would think so. Right? It seems like it.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. It sure looks that way.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And he seemed like a great choice until this happened.
Yeah. Yeah. There wasn't a lot of chemistry, but he seemed like a great choice.
I know. Well,
without the chemistry.
On paper.
on paper, it's great. It's wonderful on paper.
Yeah, on paper, it's great. But for some reason, yeah.
Yeah. Well, her last line where she says, there had to have been another way. I believed in you. I defended you. Mm-hmm. And Wynn was right all along. And now she's going to destroy you. And his last line, no, I've destroyed myself. So it feels like a confession that he did all.
Yes.
That. Right.
It does.
But, yeah. Yeah.
But that's good writing because it's leading to you down one path, but it's not
the right
path.
Yeah. It's going to be another turn.
Yes.
We go to Ops. Kira comes into Ops, calls Wynn to tell her the news. But when she gets Wynn on the screen, Wynn says, you know, Beryl withdrew from the choosing. And Wynn's very happy, thanks her, and she hangs up. And then Kira's like, you know, I think I missed something. And goes over to Miles, asks him to go back into the files. She's like, wait a minute, I want to check something. So we know that there's more to this story.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. We go back down to Bajor. The choosing has happened. Wynn has won. She's the new Kai. All these Vedics and, you know, important assembly people are coming out.
And she's wearing the Kai wardrobe as well. The hat,
she's got the
and everything.
New, full
she's
on.
She's got the Sydney's Opera House on her head.
Well, no, that's gone. Remember? No, that's the Sydney Opera House is Vedic.
Is the Vedic. That was her Orthodox
she's got that,
Vedic.
That gold, you know, embroidered
the
little
gold
hat
thing.
Cap. Yeah,
that okay, is thank you.
She's got the
I guess I'm
cap.
Kind of partial to Sydney's
the Sydney Opera House.
So.
Me too.
I love
that Sydney Opera House.
Well, when is the new Kai? Kira says, you know, tell Sisko that we're going to have to postpone our celebration appearance in front of the assembly. So she doesn't need this anymore.
She's too good now for him.
Yeah.
You don't need him no more.
Mm-mm. No.
And then she leaves. And then Beryl comes out. Kira reveals to Beryl that she knows that he couldn't have been a part of it because he forgot to erase his transit files. Mm-hmm. And she says, you were away. You couldn't have been here for any of this.
Right.
It had to have been Opaka.
Mm-hmm.
And Beryl admits, yes, she was willing to sacrifice even her own son to save many, many more lives. So that's the final truth. Kai Opaka did it. She sacrificed her son. Oh.
Holy cow.
Yeah.
So sad.
I don't think I could sacrifice my Max.
No, I don't think any. I mean, how can anyone actually do that?
That's no. Can't imagine.
Can't imagine. And it's an ominous sort of ending because they kind of say, I wonder where she's going to lead us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just want to add one quick little production
trivia thing
about. Yeah, trivia thing. Camille, Camille Saviola, who played Opaka, commented, I read the script and went, I had a son. It was shocking and it excited me. I thought it was very progressive and showed that this is another world after all. We tend to apply earthly mores, especially American sensibilities, to outer space. And I thought not only was she a pope to Bajor, but the Kai was a working mother. On the revelation about Opaka, Saviola commented, I didn't understand why what I did had to be kept secret when it was a heroic deed. It was almost like Oscar Schindler. I have sacrificed 40, including my own son, to save 1,200. So that's Camille's quote.
Oh, it's funny. Sacrifice 40 to save 1,200. In Resident Alien, the premise of the show in this mining town is there was a mine accident and 59 went in to save one. and the 59 died. So that's why the bar is called the 59. There were 59 that were in the town that went to save one person. So it's kind of the opposite. Like everybody was willing to sacrifice for one.
Hmm. Oh my goodness.
Did I also ever mention that I worked with Camille Saviola when I was about 18 years old?
On what?
I did a workshop. So Broadway musicals often get developed and then they get some money to do a workshop where they try it out and they try to raise money. And then if they get more money, they go to Broadway. So this was the workshop of a show called Star Mites. Hmm. And I was kind of in the ensemble, but I was, the director's name was Tony Tanner and I'd worked with him. I'd just done a show with him. So he brought me in as the, believe it or not, I was the male dance captain on this workshop. And I was.
Oh my God, how cute.
Isn't it adorable? I was like 18. And we did this workshop at the Minskoff Rehearsal Studios, which is right in Times Square. And Camille was like larger than life to me.
And she is.
She's larger than life. She had just come off a musical called Nine with Raul Julia on Broadway.
Okay.
So she was a big deal to me. Yeah. I was 18. Like, oh my God, this woman from this big Broadway hit Nine. So I knew Camille when I was like 18 or something. Yeah.
That's sweet.
Did you have the hair that you had in Masters?
Yeah, it was probably that kind of
that
bushy,
hair.
The bushy 80s hair. Yeah.
80s.
It was like David Hasselhoff back in the 80s.
It was a mullet. It was basically it was a mullet. Robbie had a really good looking mullet. So
it's hard when you have really curly hair.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
That's why I wear hats now. that was an interesting episode.
This wasn't one of my favorite episodes.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger for thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
What's the lesson that we can learn to live a better life from this episode? What are we going to go with our overall?
Wow, that's a lot of pressure.
I know.
Okay, I got one. Yes. I don't know if anybody's going to live a better life by it, but okay. I got a theme.
Yeah, that kind of set the bar super high. I'm out.
I think they will live a better life. Here's my theme or my lesson.
Yeah.
That being a hero is not going to always get you recognition and love, and that being a hero is complicated. Because Beriel kind of had Opaka's back here. He ultimately had to sacrifice being Kai. So doing the heroic thing or doing good things is not always going to get you love. It's not always going to get you, you know, appreciation. But it's still worth doing. That's the lesson.
Right.
Do the right thing, even if you don't get appreciation and love for it.
So sacrifice sometimes is necessary.
Yeah, without a payoff. Don't expect a happy ending.
I like that. I like that.
Do for the doing.
Do for the doing and
not for the outcome.
Yeah. Everybody's life, Garrett, is going to be better. They're going to be heroes without looking for attention for it now.
Yeah. In Buddhism, you do for the doing. You're not doing for the outcome.
Yeah.
It's the joy of washing the dish. It's the joy of smiling at a stranger. Well, I wrote, trust those you love, exhaust all possibilities.
Okay. For me, for this episode, I could only think about that old, the needs that Vulcan, what Spock said, the needs of the many outweigh the needs of the few, meaning.
Yeah.
Opaka made that decision. Her son and 41 other Bajorans had to die to save the 1200, right?
Yeah.
That's kind of a thing.
And I was hyper focused on their relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Even with
even with your poem,
poetry.
I thought that was interesting that's the part that connected for you.
Yeah.
Which is great.
It felt like the bigger part of the story, but it really wasn't. I mean, it was sort of what they used to make the meal out of it, but the real important story was what Kai Opaka went through.
Yeah.
The winning submission on our Patreon poll for the theme or moral of this episode is submitted by Paul J. Sometimes you have to do the wrong thing for the right reasons.
Okay.
Wow. And then it kind of goes back to what Odo said.
Yeah.
Didn't he say
the
it
best
too?
people,
Even the best of you, are capable of
so
doing
great.
terrible things.
Yeah.
Yeah. And great writing by Gary Holland by bringing that in those in threes, how important that is.
Great job.
All right. Well, thank you, everyone, for tuning in to our recap and discussion of The Collaborator. Join us next time. And when I say us, I mean Terry as well, for the next episode, which is Tribunal. And thank you, Terry, for joining us this time, as always. We'll see you next time with Terry, with Tribunal. For all of our Patreon patrons, please stay tuned.